Hi, this is Steve at My Paraspace. You can visit us on the web at www.myparaspace.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk? You go to addunderground.com and click on Slackin' Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
Hello, this is John Anthony West of www.jawest.net, and you are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you. Grant Wilson is the co-founder with Jason Haas of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, TAPS, based in Warwick, Rhode Island, and co-star of the sci-fi channel's Ghost Hunters, which, as of 2006, is now beginning its third season, I believe on March 29th.
Yeah, that's this Wednesday, isn't it?
It's coming up.
That's this Wednesday, yeah.
I'd like to welcome to the show none other than Grant Wilson of TAPS himself. Hi, Grant.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Real good. It's really cool to have you on the show. You know, we're fans of Ghost Hunters, and if I remember correctly, it was like, I was talking about this last night at this meeting I was at. We talked about your guys' website a little bit because, like, three and a half, something like that. It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was like we didn't realize. One day we looked at the website and we were getting clobbered with hits. And we didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, what's happening? So we did a little bit of searching around, and Doug called me and he was like, this group called TAPS linked us to their homepage.
This was decades.
Yeah, this
ago.
Was like forever ago.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, well, what's going on here? So I know, Doug, you kind of got.
But yeah, I remember talking to you on the phone. This is about three and a half, 4 years ago.
This is a while ago.
Or longer. And I said, it's the-atlantic-paranormal-society.com.
Yeah.
And he was typing it in as I was talking to him on the phone.
Mm.
So he's like, So eventually, of course, that's one that you immediately put in the bookmark.
Well, yeah,
right?
We're like,
and then you, and then
well,
you
these guys are nice to us. We love them. They're bringing people to our website. Thank you.
We had never even met, but it was pretty cool, and I liked that.
Well, yeah, we would get like way back before the show, we'd easily get like 30,000 hits a day.
Wow,
and that jumped up to like 70,000. But with the show, we've had to move servers like four times. We're up to in the millions a day.
I can imagine.
Easy.
We've had that fun ourselves. We did the Coast to Coast. I know you guys have been on Coast to Coast a couple of times. They took us seriously for some reason and let us come on their show also. And we had to actually have a guy sitting on staff with the server, like literally with the server, like a bucket of water to keep it cooled down more or less, because we got hit so hard that night. And I mean, I'm proud to say we actually, I think the worst that happened that night was it took about 2 seconds longer at times to
open the page.
Luckily,
yeah,
we didn't crash.
we
know your
hey,
pain.
Sometimes a server crashing is a good sign. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. In a situation like that,
people are paying attention.
It means people are coming to the site. You guys are going into your third season now. Congratulations, by the way. I'm sure it's been a ball for you guys. I mean, you guys, there's a lot. I know there's a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about, because I mean, obviously, there's so many groups out there now. There's lots of groups out there now as a result of your guys' show, as far as ghost hunting clubs and stuff like that. And people ask me. I mean, of course, we do this little radio show, and people are like, you know, so it's the first question nowadays. So, what do you think about that Ghost Hunter show and those TAPS guys?
That's what everybody asks us, Grant.
Yeah.
So, what do we think
what
about that?
What do you
that?
Say?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't stand those guys. They drive me completely insane.
I hate it. I can't watch that show.
But the number one thing that I always say is, well, look, these guys have taken a show and they've inspired probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, to go out there and try this sort of thing that you guys have been doing
for
the better part of 10 years.
If they become armchair researchers, it's still a topic that we want to get out there and have people thinking about.
Right. Well, let me tell you a little bit about, you know, why the heck we're doing it and what went into doing it. Jay and I had worked on a lot of shows before, like MTV Sphere and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really got it quite right. We always do it behind the scenes. And, you know, we had done an article for the New York Times where we were able to debunk the case that the reporter joined us on. And he was fascinated by that we weren't all about, you know, fainting on the floor and doing the floppy tuna and stuff like that. And so he, he printed a very good article, and the next day we got inundated with calls from all sorts of networks and agents and stuff like that, and we weren't really interested, you know. We're not that kind of... I'm not one who was really looking forward to being famous in any way. Not really into that, but we had agreed that we would do a drama, and we would be consultants on it based on the cases that we had experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an attempt to kind of present the real experience of it and really get the feeling of what it's like to be in a team like this, and also to be able to share our experiences without having to jeopardize the privacy of our clients.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to pitch that, and then we'd meet with all these producers and stuff, and they were all like, look, we can't emulate what you guys have, or whatever that is. I guess they something with our friendship. And, I don't know. And
people being friendly on TV, how can we can't do this. How would that happen?
We can't emulate that. And so they decide all of a sudden someone got in their head, let's do a reality show of these plumbers that do this in their spare time. And we didn't want to do it. We did not want to do it. And eventually, we figured out that if we didn't do it, the idea is out there. And someone else is going to do it. And how are they going to do it? Are they going to help benefit the field, or are they going to help destroy it?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So we sucked up and did it. And it's been grueling. It's really been tough. But it's been, a paranormal investigator's dream in some aspects to just be able to go almost wherever you want.
Well, yeah, you guys pretty much have the backstage pass to any haunted area on the planet, I imagine, nowadays. You guys can pretty much go anywhere you want and do your work. Which, if you're into this like we are, which a lot of people are, I mean, that's what you'd like to do, is be able to just make a phone call. Hey, we'd like to come here and check this place out, as opposed to us having, I'm sure you guys have dealt with this in the past also, where you've had to run around back and forth with people just to get permission to go to an area and do a little bit of work.
I know what you're saying, and We're never like that. I mean, we don't really go in and investigate cemeteries or anything like that. We've always just been about trying to help the client, mm-hmm. trying to help people. And so you don't really go about trying to get into places. People contact you. And I like that better, because you're not about just trying to find evidence of the paranormal. You're going into the homes trying to help the people. And so whether you find evidence of a ghost or whether you find evidence of bad plumbing, it doesn't matter. You're helping the people. So you don't get discouraged, because you're getting satisfaction on every case.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just out there to look for a ghost, you're going to go through dry spells, and you're not going to find it.
Well,
you get discouraged and drop out.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, too. As a result of ghost hunters, I mean, I've watched it. I've been watching it over the last couple of years. There are just... I mean, when we started doing this show, for example, this was just a mere 4 years ago. It was Doug and myself met each other just kind of like on some random board somewhere, and
a Yahoo group.
Yeah, it was a Yahoo thing, and one thing led to another, and now we're doing this crazy show talking to you tonight. And more or less, back then there was not that much stuff going on. There really wasn't too many groups organized out there trying to do work in whatever form it may be. If it is just going to cemeteries, for example, or if it is actually a client-based group like you guys have, I can't count how many groups there are. I mean, the Big M. I call it the Big M now, because it's this MySpace. This MySpace website, right?
The Big M.
The Big M. I think they figured it out. First of all, it's getting more hits than Google is now.
MySpace, a News Corp company.
Yeah. There you go. But it's taking more hits than Google is now. First of all, that's a pretty bold thing to do.
That's
tough to do. And I think they did an estimate, like, just about everybody in the U.S. under the age of 25 has a MySpace profile now. It's ridiculous, right? And just about every ghost hunting group that's come out now has a MySpace profile, too. So
I must get like 25 invitations a day to join these paranormal groups' MySpace pages.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, wait a minute. So your MySpace page is your MySpace page?
Yeah, Grant has one.
Yeah, I have one. I have it for a very good reason. I mean, I want people to understand who I really am as a person, because editing, the magic of editing, has a great way of changing your personality. But I also want, it's a place where people can get in touch with me easy and ask me questions. And I've helped a lot of groups get started on the right foot through that page. And a lot of people just have a simple question. They just want to ask. And I don't like to separate myself from the people who made the show a success, and therefore the paranormal investigation has become successful. So I try to make myself as available as possible through that site.
Well, yeah, and that's the first thing I thought, Grant, too, in regards to that, when I was bouncing around and I'm like going to paranormal MySpace pages and seeing what's going on. I see this profile that says Grant. I'm like, I can't be that guy. And then I look at it, it's like, oh, this is Grant. This is the Grant. This is Grant. Hi, I'm Grant. I do this show on Sci-Fi, and I mean, I thought that was super cool because there's, you know, you find that a lot when you get involved with media like that. I mean, I know you know what I'm talking about. It's very hard to you do get separated sometimes from the people that do make, you know, what you're doing a success, and that is the viewers and stuff like that, and the people that are interested in the stuff. I think it's very cool that you and Jason have a page. You both have your own pages on MySpace. Excuse me, MySpace, where you can be contacted. It's very cool.
Yeah, and I keep up on that. It's hard work, but, you know, I don't want to shut myself off. I mean, obviously, the whole point of doing the show is to help people and help people understand what's really going on out there with paranormal investigators. And so, I mean, if you shut yourself off, then how are you supposed to help people? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you guys are still, by trade, you guys still are ghost hunters. I mean, hence the name of the show. You guys still are. You're still doing this. You're in your third season. It's obviously still going on. There's a lot of work to be done. I know that for a fact. We all know that. There's still tons of places.
And, you know, we've really, we played it smart, and we realized that we can't hit every case that comes our way because we get hundreds a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we solve what we can through email and on the phone. And, you know, our local group takes care of the ones close around here, like in New England.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have what's called the TABS family, which are groups just spread out all over the globe that, you know, if I get a case in Ireland, I can send it to that group and they can take care of it. So then we don't have to, you know, fly to Ireland and go bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, we do the same thing here with Ghostly Talk, too. There's a lot of people that email us that go, hey, you know, we're from, like, you know, Mississippi, and this person from California emailed us and said, hey, you know, we have this thing going on, and we know you guys do this show. You're in contact with a lot of people. Is there anybody you know in California that could field this case possibly?
Right.
We refer to people we've had on the show maybe, or other groups we know of, and say, yeah, here's a point. We'll point them in this direction, you know, for example, and stuff like that. And that's the way of helping people out. It's really important.
And it ends up being like a network, you know. So if our group in Northern California gets a case in Texas, they'll send it to our group in Texas, and so on and so forth. Now, they're not TAPS groups. They're groups that just seem to be doing it right, and we're just trying to get them the exposure they need and all that stuff, you know.
And then,
we run them or anything.
Yeah.
What are the qualifications to become a TAPS family
member? I knew you were going to ask that.
There are some very basic ones, and then once people get past that, we just like to get a feel for the personality of the group and just kind of make a judgment call on that. But the group has to be around for at least a year. You have to know that you're going to be here. You know, you're not just making it for a month and go hit a cemetery and then disband.
I have to admit I knew that one, and that's why I asked, because I was talking to a group, a brand new group out in, I think it's on Long Island. I'm unsure about the exact location, but it's in that area anyway. And he said, we're not a TAPS affiliated group yet. Because we can't be, but we will be. We want to be. So I know that people are you know, paying attention to that stuff.
They have to have a certain number of home investigations done. And, you know, they have to have certain ones under their belt.
Mm.
It's not
excellent.
Like we're not going to bring in a group that just, you know, breaks into an abandoned house or something like that. And
oh boy, so much for the GT group.
Yeah, right.
I have to admit, on international radio, we've been known, when we started ghost hunting, we were quite exuberant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll admit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, my advice to people who start that I give to these, you know, to all these groups that get in touch is, you know, don't go in the cemeteries. Don't break in the houses, you know. If you can find a group in your area, you know, see if see if you can shadow them on a couple of cases to get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or find a friend or a relative that thinks their house is haunted and investigate that. And then there's no threat of having to deal with a client or some psychotic person with loaded guns or something. I don't know. You know?
Well,
so
yeah.
You want to...
Well, we two have come around
a long time ago.
We did the adventurous stuff for a little bit, and then finally both of us, Scott Ellen and myself, both said, we're done with that. This is dumb.
Why are we doing this? We're going to get ourselves in
trouble.
Right,
we can get actual permission. So now, my own favorite haunt, anyway, is actually, it's not even the kind that you see on your show. My favorite haunt is the public haunt. One of my favorite places is, we call it Trainwreck Site. It's outdoors.
Yeah, it's a bridge.
There's a walking path. It's a bridge. You go to it, and it's publicly accessible. It's a public haunt. Railroad tracks, different places that are... It doesn't have to be out of doors. It could be some things like you guys have done, restaurants and hotels and things like that where anybody can get a room.
That, you pay a small fee and you can go in for an investigation there. And
those are my favorite. Hmm? That's my favorite
kind of haunt. The problem with that is that you've got to, at some time, make the leap from just investigating and trying to capture evidence to dealing with the psychology of the homeowner. And that's a huge, huge jump. And you got to ease into that by... starting with someone that you know already, so there's no pressure of failure,
Yeah, exactly.
And you can already talk to them freely and give them a conclusion and stuff like that. Because, I mean, to be honest, we've dealt with some really, really whacked out people. And you got to be prepared for that and keep it cool, professionalism.
Well,
it's not easy.
We know exactly what you're talking about, Grant. I'll give you one quick example that will make everybody crack up laughing. We went to one place. We do house investigations now and things of that sort.
Yes, we do.
And we got a call from a gentleman. It was a friend of a friend. And said, "Hey, there's stuff flying out the walls. There's things coming out of the walls trying to grab me and pull me into the netherworld. All this insane stuff's going on."
Okay.
And we're like, "Okay, that sounds kind of interesting. Let's take a Saturday night and check this thing out." So we load up the helicopter and all that stuff. We fly over there. We land the helicopter next to this little house, because we have the helicopter.
The GT copter.
And we hop out, and the first thing I see when I walk in the house, Grant, and this is beautiful. I loved it. The first thing I saw...
smoking a hookah pipe or something?
No, not quite that extreme. But a table filled with empty beer cans. I mean, empty, right? And the homeowner comes up to me and says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. Oh, hi, I'm Scott L. from Ghostly Talk. Very nice to meet you. Would you like a beer?" That's what he asked me. And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm going to have to pass on that. I know it's Saturday night. I should be out at the bar. I shouldn't be doing this right now, obviously. But no, thank you." And we checked the house out. And, to be quite honest, we had one weird picture, but that was, we ended up, disproving that because it was just a reflection off a mirror. That's all it was.
Sure.
I'm sure you guys have run into that 20-fold.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I won't tell you which episode, but in the first season, it was this lady that was just crazy. And, totally crazy. We had to have the production guys remove three loaded guns from her house before we got in there.
Oh, my God.
She had a .357 Magnum under her pillow. She had a shotgun. They're all loaded.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and... she's asking us to pet her invisible cat and stuff like that, and she's pretending like she's holding it in her arms. Like,
did you look in her medicine cabinet at all?
That's what I was getting to. We asked her. That's a standard question.
Yeah.
Private question, but are you on any medication? She produces a list of the top 10 painkillers. She's taking 10 Oxycontin a day, Vicodin, you name it. She was taking it all. She was taking it all, and so she was on friggin' Pluto, but we listened to her stories and, tongue in cheek, but her husband was very normal. So she would say, this ghost attacked my husband and tried to suck his soul out through his ear or whatever. And we asked him, and he's like, "No, I got touched on the shoulder once," so.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that dramatic. Yeah. Well, you do find that. I mean, like you said, this woman was probably certified. Well, it sounds like she might have just been stoned out of her mind if she was on that many drugs. She might have, maybe off the drugs, she might have been a pretty level-headed person. Who knows? But you do run into that element, unfortunately, and that's difficult. It makes the job very hard at times because how are you going to be friendly about something like that and not offend this person, first of all?
The hardest client is someone who wants a haunting. And they don't have one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, no matter what you say, they're going to say, "Well, I still think it's haunted." That's fine. You think what you want. But everything that you've told us, we've debunked.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the toughest one because they feel offended. And they think that you think they're crazy. When you don't. You just wish they would accept what you've showed them.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's all over the place, too. I know that. Like I said, we've had our experience with that, too. I just gave you one example. there's books full of examples just on our part. I know we've run into so many people. The one thing, you know, that, and this is going to be funny, too, Grant, we've run into people. I know you can identify with this. One example, and I've used it on this show before. We were working with one gentleman, and we went to this area, and we were standing in one room, and the gentleman grabbed me and said, "It's right there. It's right there, Scott. Do you see it? It's right there against the wall. Do you see that?" And I mean, me being the level-headed gentleman, drug-free gentleman that I am, I'm like, "I see a wall, my friend. I don't see anything." "No, take your camera and take the picture. You need to take..." And he literally, like, got spooked out, alarmed, freaked out, grabbed my arm to the point where he was cutting blood circulation off of it. And, yeah, I'm like, "Dude, there's nothing there." Have you run into... Well, it sounds like you've run into that person we just talked about. It sounds like it's the exact same thing. Where you...
Hey, man, we've got some of the funniest stories. There was a guy who thought he was being haunted by a demon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thought something was trying to possess him. Now, I don't know where he got this idea. I mean, he complained about these, like, these smells, you know, and sometimes you get an inhuman haunting that smells like, you know, a dirty diaper or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've experienced that, but you get that rotten smell.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, he could be in trouble. Let's check it out. So we go over there, and sure enough, we're sitting there, and the house was kind of creepy just because it was, like, dirty and messy and stuff. But while we're sitting there, and all of a sudden he's like, "There's a smell." So we get excited, and we smell this smell. And we couldn't figure it out. It would come and go and stuff. And we were sitting there, and it was very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We were just listening. And the friggin' dog farted, right? The smell is so bad. His dog was letting these SBDs, and it was making him a demon. So we politely suggested he change the dog's diet, and sure enough, the demonic entity left.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
And so
a lot of it is, it's not that he's crazy, it's just that, you know, there's, what amazes me, what has constantly amazed me about this field is that how people are so quick to make the jump to blaming it on some cosmic entity from some other dimension or, you know, from the beyond. Instead of stopping and thinking, okay, what could possibly make a stink in my house? Oh, look, there's my dog. You
have this giant, you know, Great Dane sitting there, you know, pounding down, you know, whatever. What are the kibbles and bits?
Three Alpos a day.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Maybe that might be the source of the smell. It seems that, like you said, Grant, there seems that people they want the haunt.
They get an idea in their head, and you don't want to let it go. You know,
right.
It just explains absolutely everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a quick break, Grant? I think there's a lot more to cover here, and this is pretty funny stuff. I didn't know we'd be talking about this. I mean, this is real. This is how it really works, though. This is what you do. We've all run into this kind of stuff. Let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back after this.
Coleman, talking to you from a wild corner of America. You can reach me through looking on my website, which is laurencoleman.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Francis Francis Sampier, producer of the upcoming independent horror film Moral Road. This is a horror film based on an actual Michigan legend about a ghost who's searching for her baby.
See, as a amateur broadcaster, I'm trying to broaden my horizons and do different voices.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say being a professional is all about.
Well, the one thing that I like about that is that you didn't say, "And we're back."
No, I'm not doing that no more.
Yeah,
I gave that up a long time ago.
I noticed, and I'm very, very happy.
Because it makes you feel like you're like at the Indy 500 or something.
Yeah,
I don't think that would work. We're not racing here.
Right.
Sometimes it feels like we're racing, but we're not racing here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we also, the independent bands. I want to say thanks to all the independent bands who are putting music on our breaks.
Yeah, you just heard Overloaded. They're a really great band here out of Detroit. Eric Kluber is a guy I actually jammed with for a little while, and he's playing in this band called Overloaded. They actually opened for Motley Crue on New Year's Eve, which was really cool. And Eric's a really great guy, and just a killer band. I asked him if hey, can we play some of your tunes? He's like, oh, absolutely, put them on there.
Cool.
Die Grinder, another band we've used for a lot of stuff on here. Another great band from Detroit. We used Will. You said the Transmission. New stuff from their new album.
They just
sent me the new album.
Yeah, we just got it in the mail like a couple days ago. Really cool stuff there. And then there was the other band,
Function 13.
There's another band I totally forgot their name, but we have that cool block on the website.
Yep, we'll put it all up on the website. Our website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Mm-hmm,
Support indie.
Support
indie all the time.
That's what we do here. And I think he's still on the phone. I don't think he's ran away screaming just yet, thank goodness. We have Grant on the phone from Ghost Hunters and Taps also. Hi, you still there with us, Grant?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. We were scared. We're like, oh, God, did we scare him? We were all discussing it. We had a corporate meeting. You know, we had to have that big meeting and go, okay, is he liking us? We've been talking kind of about anything on this show, it's usually the last thing I expect to happen when we have a guest on. We've been talking about crazy people.
I don't understand.
There's nothing out there.
Well, yeah, there's tons of them. You know, you run into a lot of them in this field, unfortunately. It harbors them. It isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's not knocking these people. They may have legitimate problems, or they may be stoned, like that example we used in the last half hour, Grant.
Sure.
They may just be a few too many elements in there that make them see things and make them want things that aren't there.
I see sparkle.
Oh yeah, the sparkle lady.
That was fun.
That's my favorite one.
How about Grant?
Yes.
Before traveling all over the place with the show,
mm-hmm.
Before that, what was your favorite haunted place? Or do you not? Do you typically only do residential homes and businesses, or do you go out and about as well and just look at all the different stuff and go anywhere that even remotely is haunted?
I've always been just wanting to help the people because, I mean, if you've got someone who is scared enough to swallow their pride and call a group, you know, because it does take a little bit to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then you know that your chance of experiencing something are higher because instead of walking around a graveyard or something and hoping you see something or a supposedly haunted building, you know these people have to make call. So, I mean, your chance of experiencing something are higher. And I get a lot of people who will send me emails and be like, oh, man, have you ever heard of this place or that place or have you gone to this place? And they're always surprised when I say no. I know very little about, you know, the famously haunted places. I mean, I know the really well-known ones, but it's just like I don't spend my time researching that. I spend my time researching on how to help the people. You know what I'm saying?
God, you just saved my life too, Grant, because I'm just like that. Like people go, hey, have you heard about this place in like, you know, Timbuktu out here? That's
right.
they said they saw a floating head there like back in 1907. I'm like, no. I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Well, that's interesting, though, because it highlights a difference between us, because while I don't keep facts in my head usually, I keep general ideas. Will, however, keeps all the facts. He knows everything, you know, date, name, time.
He's
our walking encyclopedia. But I remember the generalities, and I enjoy the folklore portion of the reported haunted sites. I mean, and it could be, little Billy saw a ghost on a road and got scared and, ran his bicycle into the ice cream truck. I don't know.
Okay.
But it could be that. But there's a folklore thread through these things.
A lot of them, yeah.
And the same thing with ghost lights. So I enjoy that.
What's really cool about this field is that you can't avoid history. I mean, you learn a lot about history. You learn a lot about kind of like the dirty, messy history of America and the world. And I think that's cool. We've been doing a lot of lectures at colleges, and we just did one at a high school over here for 4 hours. And it was this class, and it was great because we were able to teach them a little bit of history, but keep them glued with the paranormal, you know? So it's kind of interesting if you stop thinking of the paranormal as freaky and taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Start thinking it of, hey, here's a chance to see our ancestors from the past. It really intrigues a lot of the right kind of people, teachers, scientists, and things like that.
Oh, yeah. This is something we've been saying for like the last year and a half here, is we've noticed a real upswing in that approach, too. We've had a lot of people on the show that have come in here and we're like, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? He's like, well, look, I'm very interested in the paranormal and ghosts and hauntings and things like that. But what my main job is, and I mean, we've talked to countless people like that now. What my main job is and my function is I'm the person who does the research and finds out why this may be going on right now. Right.
Well, and like Mark Nesbitt started as he's a historian.
Yeah, he's a historian.
Turned paranormal shop owner, that's the Ghost of Gettysburg shop owner is Mark Nesbitt.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're going from place to place. There is one place where all of us will be
at
the same time.
You're gonna get to have us poking at you, like literally, just like, hey, Grant, how you doing? We're gonna be poking you.
Yeah,
right?
We'll be like, hey, what's up?
Don't steal my wallet.
Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about this other haunted place? No, we're gonna be at the CPRI conference in May 13th and 14th. You guys are on the schedule from 9:30 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
We're down there with Bobby. That's a great group. She's really doing a lot to push the paranormal forward.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Part of the Taft family. That's the kind of caliber of group we're looking for. You know what I mean?
We had Bobby on the show before, and she just blew us away. We're like, wow,
amazing.
This is amazing ideas. Yeah, she. If you've looked at the schedule recently, Grant, we're loving this because you guys are on from 9:30 to 11. And then they put us after you guys.
Right. We follow you.
We follow you guys. So we're like, okay, we got to follow the Taps guys. How are we going to do this?
We figure we'll have an empty auditorium.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to turn around and sit down.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
I'll raise my hand.
I'm just going to say Ghost Ornito over and over again.
Yeah,
and
I think Ghost Ornito.
I'm going to fill up an hour with that, and I think we'll get our point across that way. Yeah, we're going to be down there hanging out with you guys that weekend. We're really looking forward to that, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. And
there's going to be a lot of high-quality people down there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, John Zaffis is going to be there.
Yeah, Mark Nesbitt, like you mentioned.
Mark Nesbitt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a ton of people down there. You guys have been doing a lot of seminars like that, I've noticed. Yeah, I see you guys popping up at a lot of places. This is obviously just another way you guys do. I think it's really cool myself, just like we were talking about the Big M, the MySpace page thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are out there. You guys are in the thick of it, like out there talking to people, getting the word out, trying to clear up a lot of maybe the confusion of what, paranormal occurrences and ghost hunting and hauntings are. I think that's really important. It's very important.
We have two goals. We have two main goals as a group, and that is to help people, number one, obviously, and number two is to help raise the bar of professionalism in the field. And that's why we have the Taps family groups out there, that we're trying to get these cream of the crop groups up and getting the cases they need so they can get the experiences they need.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is going around to colleges, getting the kids, you know, at the right ages and telling them, look, this is how it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've gone to mixed conferences, you know, where there are more than one speaker, more than just us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because a lot of people go up there and they'll do, like, psychic readings and stuff like that, or they'll have someone up there who's all doom and gloom, you know, ghosts can kill you and they will kill you and stuff like that. And, you know, we get up there and we're just normal guys and we just tell them how it is. And it's not like we know everything, of course not. We just have, I've had 15 years of experience doing this.
Mm.
And, you know, you start to see trends and all you can do is relate what you have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all we do. If we don't know the answer, we don't pretend to know. We just say we don't know.
And that's a really cool approach to it, because, you know, this is one thing. This is one of my gripes I've had. We've been griping a little bit about this, is that I see a lot of people nowadays, you know, like they have, they'll start up their own club or, so you know, group, association, to go out and study and the paranormal like all of us do. And I see the word expert being attached to a lot of people, right? And I've always found it funny that, and I'm going to throw it out again, Doug. Or do you want to say it?
No, you go ahead.
I'm going to throw it out again. And I don't even know who quoted this. I really, because they're going to sue the pants off me probably, because I've said it 1,000 times. But studying the paranormal is the only field that you can be an expert and still not know anything at the same time, it seems, right?
Right. I mean, that's why, you know, we received, excuse me, Jay and I received honorary doctorates from this college, okay,
mm-hmm.
parapsychology. You know, now I'm not going to run around and say I'm a doctor of parapsychology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, technically I can say that, but I'm not going to. I'm not a doctor of anything. What the frig, you know? I'm a plumber, you know, I can tell. I just tell you, you know, I just look at if anything, I'm analytical. I can look at a situation differently than you will. And that's all it takes. That's all it really takes to investigate paranormal. And, you know, yeah, there's no experts in the field. There's people with experience.
Exactly. That's the thing, is there's people that have you know, a lot less experience than other people, and that's kind of where you can kind of earn your stripes, I guess. If you've been, like you said, Grant, you've been doing this for 15 years. We've been doing this, you know, as Ghostly Talk, as a media source, and kind of our own little investigation unit for 4 solid years now. We know people that have been around for 10 years doing their thing, you know, and that.
You know what? I know people who've been doing it for 30 years who don't have the know-how of people who've been doing it for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all depends on the quality of the person, the intensity in which they investigate, and, of course, how long they've been doing it.
When you say intensity, I'm curious about that. When you say the intensity of how they investigate, do you mean, like, you know, just they're at it every night, they're working every night, they're doing stuff? Is that what you mean by that?
Right. I mean, if they are just going and talking to people, or if they're investigating, you know, it's how often you go out and investigate and how seriously you treat that investigation. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You guys, it's practically standing room only in the chat room, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Omnisound Radio 1.
Jeez, I wonder why. What's going on here?
There's some questions popping up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And normally sometimes I get on a roll where I ask question after question after question,
mm-hmm.
because it's a guest or topic or something that I'm really into.
Mm-hmm.
But the...
not tonight, right?
Evidently... No, that's not what I meant.
Hey, man, nice way to pigeonhole us.
Yeah,
awesome.
That worked out really well.
Great.
Open mouth and sore foot. But no. What I mean is today, the questions are coming in from the chat room, so I want to ask you a couple.
Yeah.
All right.
Do it.
They want hints on the season's opener.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Waverly Hills Sanatorium where is that, Kentucky?
Waverly Hills.
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We were going to go there once, but we didn't.
We didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
any hints, any cool stuff that you can say?
I can't say what we found or anything like that, but I can say that it's a good episode. There's a lot of pretty intense moments, and it's worth watching. We do have some success, and the people there were awesome. The history is great. The place, excuse me. Dying over here. The place is, it's 63,000 people died there of tuberculosis. They, you know, they have this thing called the death tunnel there where they would shoot these dead people down on this conveyor belt.
Ah.
Right out. Yeah, they're just out of sight from the patients, so they wouldn't. And what's funny is that was the employee entrance. So the people would walk up the steps, and next to them would be these bodies just sliding down next to them.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty morbid.
That's not a way to start the day. Yeah, I just said, that's not a way. I'd look at that and go, I haven't had coffee yet. Don't do this to me, all right? No. Oh, God. That's creepy. Ugh. That's like you said, that's episode one, season three. You guys are going to be checking out Waverly Hills.
March 29th.
March 29th, this coming Wednesday. What else we got in there,
now,
Doug?
Now, it's a good episode, but it's not the best of the season. There are way better ones coming. So, I mean, we had a great season. We had some awesome debunking, and we had some awesome evidence.
Cool.
Yeah, we've caught a lot of things. Normally, you have, like, a personal experience, and you catch stuff on film, and they don't coincide a lot of the times, mm-hmm. you know? But there was one place where we had three major paranormal experiences, and we caught all three on tape. It's awesome.
Wow.
Oh, wow. What else we got in there, Doug?
That question, by the way, was Dave Amania wanted to know that Waverly Hills.
You're welcome, Dave.
You're welcome. The other question was more personal. And I know the show doesn't get into this, but now that there's like traveling like that,
mm-hmm.
your family must notice that you've got this really intrusive hobby. Are they perplexed? Are they happy about it? Do they share your joy?
Everybody, time out right there. The other band that we played music for was called Perplexa.
Ah, perplexed. Okay. There
you
go.
I just had to throw it in there. Let's carry on now.
Who asked that question? Can you scroll up real quick?
It was Keith.
Oh, Keith asked. More, because we don't get that on the show, but we're all interested in you guys.
All right, there's a reason why we don't show too much, well, personally, why I don't show too much of that, and I know Jason shares that, is that, you know, we love our families very dearly, and we are obviously protective of them, and the more we show of them, the more... You know, I mean, I send my kids to school, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't watch them while they're there. So I don't like to show my kids on the show and stuff like that. But my wife has been on the show. My wife is amazing. I've been married 9 years. I love her more today than I did when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sweetheart. She's very supportive. She helps me. Every hobby I've had, she always helps me magnify and make the most of it. She's very understanding of these people. She knows that a lot of these people are moms with kids, and they don't know where to turn. And, you know, her heart goes out to them, so she always supports me going there. And my kids, three boys, the oldest is seven. They're 7, 6, and 3. And, you know, they pretend to be ghost hunters and stuff like that here and there. But they watch a lot of Scooby-Doo, you know, so they realize it's not always a ghost. You know, it's...
Well, so if there's any show that's going to teach you that lesson, it's going to be Scooby-Doo. It's always like the bellkeeper or something, right? That you take the mask off and whammo. Yeah. There's no ghost. There's never a...
Old Man Jenkins.
Yeah, there was never a ghost. They never proved anything in that show. There was always a ghost in the beginning of the show, but at the end of the show, it was always, Old Man Jenkins with his mask on or something like that. They ripped it off his face, and whammo, he goes to jail, and then we move on. Next episode.
And I hide nothing from my kids. I mean, they ask me questions. And fortunately... my own personal beliefs and theirs, it all kind of fits in, you know? So I don't have a hard time explaining to them. And they're not afraid of it, you know? They're not afraid of the dark or anything like that. So
it all
works out good.
Very cool. And I mean, having a father like yourself, I'm sure, I know we've talked about it a lot of times on this show. Like, you know, I love my parents. Everybody knows that. My mom makes her appearance like every couple of weeks on the show to say her
awesome.
Say her words and make fun of us and whatnot. But, you know, growing up, that was the big thing. I tell people, you know, when I got scared of the dark and I had something freak me out, my mom would run in my room and say, Scott, there's no such thing as ghosts. This is your house. There's nothing here that's going to hurt you. You are perfectly safe here, which was being a mother. Wonderful thing.
You know what? You know what? To a certain degree, she's right. I mean, there aren't such things as ghosts as what you were thinking in your head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Most of the time, I'd say 99% of the time, there's no danger involved other than just freaking yourself out. You know?
Yeah, it's a lot of it's in your mind. We could go a whole show on that, I'm sure. That's the psychology of this stuff is, you know, you can go for days on just those thoughts. Doug's biting his lip here. What's going on?
Was it the season ender of last season that had the glowing the figure on the,
right.
the locker.
Thermal imaging camera.
Have you learned anything since that episode, or is it case closed?
Well, I'll tell you what. They really didn't do it justice. Jay and I spent a total of about 4 hours down there trying to figure it out. I mean, we tried everything. We tried heating up that number two so it would be hot and stuff like that, and we tried everything to get a reflection. The only reflection we could get is when we found an old mirror down there and stood in front of that, and that's the only time you would get a reflection.
Oh, okay.
You know, anything that would obviously produce a reflection, you get your own reflection on. But we sent it to, we had the people at FLIR who make the camera look at it,
mm-hmm.
and we showed them a picture of the lockers, and we had taken snapshots of the locker. And I showed it to them. And the guy we talked to, he looked at the locker and he's like, there's no way that that would reflect, you know, any heat signature. but he said, we asked him what he thought it was, and he said, look, guys, I have seen your show. I don't believe in ghosts, so I'm just going to end this conversation here. So whatever that means.
The psychology of a haunting, by the way, is one of the things that CPRI founder President Bobby Etcherson will be talking about at the CPRI conference.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Because that answer is more psychology.
That's a bit of a biased opinion. I mean, biased is in a belief
system.
That
sounds like a CYA type thing.
But, wow.
Is there any more questions, anybody?
Not yet. Now they're teasing us. They're saying we're going to be on Court TV with the people from Cartoon Network.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because of the Scooby-Doo references and
they should be happy. We're pimping the Cartoon Network now. What more do they want from us?
Really stick it to them. Scooby-Doo.
Jeez.
No, the chat room has a lot of fun with the show. Is all.
We'll put a banner. We'll put a banner up on our site for them if they want. You know, just give us a break. I mean, I don't.
Hey, I was on History Channel.
Oh yeah,
I was on the History Channel. No,
see that was like our 15, not our 15 minutes, our 15 seconds of fame.
Not even seconds.
Yeah, it was like 4 seconds cool. of fame. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. What's that, Grant?
It's better to stay away from the fame. I tell you, not all cracked up to be.
Well, here's my question. I want to ask you, Grant. I know that you guys are. This is your third season you're going into, and I'm sure there is. You know, you've mentioned things like, you know, the magic of editing is a huge thing. And you guys obviously do a lot of work on this thing to put these shows together. My question, and this is what we always ask people too, is: are you having a good time? Are you still enjoying yourself doing this thing?
You know, I have a good time on the cases. I mean, I have a good time. I love doing it. It's very grueling, don't get me wrong. I mean, it takes 2.5 weeks to film one episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are 12-hour days, and it is grueling. And but you know what? It's worth it when you help the people and just seeing the attention that's brought to the paranormal and, you know, seeing the good quality groups that are popping up, it makes it all worth it. It totally makes it worth it. The tough part really is, like, when you're done filming, you got a little break, then you have to do the media stuff. Like, I leave tomorrow on a train to go to New York City, and I'm there for 3 days of solid just promotion. I'm on, you know, radio tours and MSNBC and MTV and all this crud. And it's, you know, it's good. It's good. And I'm happy to do it because it's helping the field. But, you know, I'll be honest, it's tough.
It can be, yeah, I can imagine it can be kind of rough. Because, I mean, that's what we tell a lot of people, that, you know, there's a lot of people that get very, very serious about this, especially now. Because you know this as well as we do, Grant. A lot of these groups are, you know, they're coming out now. They're coming out of the woodwork doing their thing. I think a lot of these groups, their main goal is to become the next TAPS, you know, which is flattering to you guys, I'm sure. It's very flattering to you guys. But I think that's such a high goal to try to attain right now when you're brand new to the field. I mean, to take it in baby steps.
Because TAPS was around for even a couple of years before Ghostly Talk.
Oh yeah,
you guys have been around for a long time, and
we've been around since 1990.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, they were. I was still in high school, man.
So it was. It takes a long time to build up that reputation.
Well, that experience.
The
too.
Experience. What the show does, Ghost Hunters does, is it gives a nice foundation hey, leap forward, you know. Yeah. You start your stuff, but leap forward, because Be professional. Understand the psychology. Help people. I mean, you're helping people leap forward rather than having to, you know, learn it all on their own.
Yeah, well, I wish we had something really like that around when we started out back in the day, just 4 years ago.
Two minutes.
Well, I mean, it's good because you get to see, people get to see not necessarily, I mean, we show everything that we're happy to show everything. I mean, you see us fight, you see us joke, you see us mess up, whatever, you see everything. And that's good because then the people who don't know who to call, watch the show, they see, okay, these are very normal people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they get to see the ins and outs of how we operate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's important to clients, future clients, and that's important to future groups because they can see, okay, yeah, it's okay to mess up. Here's how you recover and things like that, you know. And it's just, it's good because it lets people see. People don't have to go on our hearsay, you know. Like, we don't have to say, hey, we're very professional. Can we come over and help you out, you know. The show speaks for itself, you know, and people can judge for themselves if they want us to come. And then we can say, hey, here's a group in Alabama that does operates the same way we do, and they know and they can feel comfortable with it.
Very cool.
And we only have 1 minute left.
Oh, my God.
You know, one of the things...
Bad.
Yeah, I know.
No, it was bad.
One of the things, before we let you go... One of the things that you guys have been doing lately is you started Taps Para Magazine, and we had mentioned that earlier
with Dave.
Dave.
Yeah.
And TapsParamag.com.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's what the site is. Great magazine.
You guys have gotten like way into it. I think that's awesome because not, you know, the print and the TV and doing the radio circuit and everything. That's amazing. You're very, very busy, Grant.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're trying to do all this stuff. We're not trying to take over anything, but we're trying to take advantage of this opportunity to help the world understand what's really going on with these groups, with these good groups. And the magazine's great. We're improving it with each issue. It started out just everyone was volunteering. Everyone, every artist, every writer, you know, just did it of their own free will. And now we have amazing collections of writers and artists in there, and it's getting better and better every issue.
Excellent.
Grant, hang on the phone for 1 second, okay? Could you just hang it for it? We're going to close the show out, but we need to talk to you after the show, if that'd be okay.
but yeah, I have to say, Grant,
thank you so much, Grant.
For coming on Ghostly Talk.
Hey, guys.
We
thank you. Let's do it again.
Oh, we'd love to do it again. We had a ball. This has been a busy show.
And probably more like toward May when we're gonna meet up and stuff. So
we'll talk it over. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, four guests in 3 hours.
New record for us.
That's a new record. It was awesome. Well, we matched our previous record. So
did we?
Not bad.
We done four guests in one show?
I think so.
Have we?
A look.
Well, we need to thank Jason and the folks from Prism.
Yeah.
They're homeboys here, homeboys and girls here in our beautiful state of Michigan. And, well, we separate Detroit out because it's kind of dirty. The rest of the state's clean. we need to thank David Schrader from Darkness on the Edge of Town. Another great show out there you guys should check out. His website is darknessradio.com. Check it out. They're on tonight. What did we say?
11 o'clock Eastern Time.
Yeah, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We need to thank the mighty... I'm going to screw up his last name again, too. I know I'm going to screw it up.
Giorgio Tsoukalos,
thank you for coming on and giving us
Ancient Astronauts.
We're going to have
amazing.
LegendaryTimes.com. Check out his website. And also, obviously, the mighty Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, who came on here. I don't know why, but he came on here to talk to us. Thank you, Grant. We really appreciate it.
AtlanticParanormalSociety.com. With that, I'm going to have to close the show because we're already a minute over. So,
oh, my God.
We have to make way for Full Moon Radio coming up next on a lot of feeds.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we hope you learned. We hope you enjoyed.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back next week.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We're out of here. Bye.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. I need to go someplace where I can breathe.
look at ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.